Hi, hello everybody, and a hearty Omaha to you wherever you may be. Welcome into another edition of Speed Syndicate, this season 3, episode 4, this one titled Georgia on My Mind. I wonder where we got that from. Anywho, I'm Logan Loganity Morris, or whatever's left of him. Great to have you in, whether that's right now live or our audio listeners. We greatly appreciate them, the next day on demand folks. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Let's talk a little Atlanta. And luckily, I don't just do it alone. I do it with a cast of characters, a lovely crew, a maple syrup loving man, and by God, a Ryan Blaney loving woman. Let's bring him in. He is the show creator. He is fresh off a trip, and he's going to make one again real soon. He's going to cowboy up here real soon later this week. I'll let you know what that means later. Let's bring him on in here. Show creator Adam Carabine.
I'm dabbing. There we go.
Yeah. Do you like how I said you're going to cowboy up?
I am going to cowboy up. I'm heading to Texas, the Lone Star State, going down to check out the Circuit of the Americas. Yes, and yes, I just recently back from a little trip to Florida. So it's been busy. Too busy almost. I'll be here for the entire show today. Fear not. I will. It's good to be back at home a little bit, back in the Great White North, you know.
Yes. Oh Canada. And so, but luckily there's a beautiful lady that keeps us going, that keeps us on task. And that is a job in itself, folks. And that's not a cut on Adam or myself, but we can get a little off kilter, as you've probably figured out. Let's bring her in. She's happy with a respectable top 10 finish, all things considered. But when Fords were dominating like they were, she had some high hopes. Let's bring her in here, the beautiful producer, Peyton Lore.
There she is.
I don't know what buttons I'm hitting.
Hi. How are you?
It's Monday.
Yeah, Monday be Mondayin?
It's the Mondayest Monday that has ever Mondayed.
I feel like, Peyton, whenever we bring you on the show, like at the very beginning, I think your first thing that you ever do is just a giant sigh. It's always, Peyton, how are you doing? It's Monday.
That's true, but that's also what I do in every conversation I ever have.
Well, that's
we play a little online gaming, Adam, as you know, you're part of it. And every time you ask her how she's doing when she first joins in the chat party,
we should stop asking. I feel like we're putting you off by asking how you're doing.
Oh, bother. Just keep smiling.
I feel like the only time I don't do that is at work when I have to be a real person.
We would love to have a real person on our show as well. That'd be good.
Well, I'm bound. Sorry.
It's fine. Yeah. Good to see you, though, Peyton. Good to see you.
Did you hear what you just said? She doesn't give a damn, my boy.
I know. Well, we'll work on it. We'll work on it.
But, I know you didn't see a ton of the race. You were visiting your grandmother, Peyton, but your boy got a top 10.
Hey, he was on the pole too.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah,
I caught the second half of the race.
All right.
Remember what happened?
Well. Luckily, we can fill you in. We can fill the folks in.
I don't remember.
We can fill you in. We can fill the folks in. What do you say we do it? Let's get to our weekend review.
If I can find that button. Here we go.
That's right, folks. She did find the button. It's time for our weekend review, Adam. And Hotlanta wasn't so hot. It was matter of fact, by all accounts, it was chilly. It was very chilly.
Yeah, they looked a little chilly out there. A little cool.
Look, there's a lot to unpack, so let's get right to it. Christopher Bell gets the dub in, I'm going to say, kind of unlikely fashion, coming in early in the week. Let's start it there. Early in the week, as far as qualifying, because no practice at Super Speedways except Daytona, which I think is just manure, but whatever at this point. Like, until it changes, I might as well quit complaining. So, qualifying, Toyota's had next to no speed. I mean, Bubba Wallace was pretty much it. Everybody else was in the witness protection program for the weekend, as far as Toyota speed goes. But Fords were incredibly fast. You and I discussed it on our post-race inspection article on RacingRefresh.com right now. But Christopher Bell finds a way to get it done. But I want to start there. You know, what are your thoughts? This is Joe Gibbs Racing's first win in 8 months. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Is that true? Hey, I don't think I realized that.
It's true. This is Joe Gibbs Racing's first win in 8 months. The last person to get him in victory lane, Christopher Bell at New Hampshire.
Holy. Well, that's not good. I mean, it's good that they've gotten off the schneid there, so to speak. But boy, I didn't realize it had been that long. I knew it hadn't been, you know, it had been a while. But I think, you know, I don't know if you can. I think qualifying at these kind of drafting tracks, I don't know if we're officially calling Atlanta a super speedway or not, because it's a mile and a half, but
I call it the love job.
Yeah. Qualifying, I feel like, doesn't really matter that much. It's kind of funny. Like the Daytona 500 has this like pomp and circumstance, and yeah, it's cool that they make a big production out of it, but really, like, you can start in the very tail end of the field and pretty much be leading at the end of stage one at a track like Daytona. Tracks like road courses, not so much. But so I don't know if I was too worried about the Toyota's kind of unpacking slow on the qualifying effort there. I think what matters is how the cars race in the pack, right? And how they do. I think you didn't see Toyota's dominating as soon as they were in the pack, but I don't know if that was just a case of like good adjustments for the Toyotas throughout the weekend, as, you know, getting good feedback from their drivers, or as is sometimes the case on these drafting tracks, right place, right time sort of thing, right? Which kind of was the case for Bell there at the end. It looked like Carson Hocevar was going to take that victory if it had stayed green, and wasn't to be for him to get his first win, and for me to you know, get closer to my hot take coming true. So
yeah, we're keeping the receipts. We're gonna talk about it as we get closer to the end of the season. Freddie tuning in. Freddie, we appreciate you always. Hope you're well, brother. The race this past weekend was all right, he says. Didn't like the finish for the Cup race, but it is what it is. NASCAR doing NASCAR things. What I presume he is alluding to was another, you know, for lack of a better term, Adam, I don't want to be unfair, but it was another inconsistent call by NASCAR to throw the caution at the white lap there, and then, you know, that we don't know how the last lap would have played out, but that definitely secured Bell the win. Who knows if Hocevar or Larson would have gave it a run? We have no idea. We'll never know. Let's talk about that. The inconsistent call by NASCAR. What'd you think of this one?
We talked a little bit about this in our article as well, and I have trouble being critical of NASCAR because, as I said in our article, like, they're making these decisions on the fly, and everyone else in, you know, everyone and their dog has an opinion on it after the fact. And it's way easier to see after the fact what could have been, what should have been, all that stuff. In the moment, you're in that tower, you're watching, you got spotters out on the track saying they're wrecking. Do you throw the caution or do you not? And it's, you know, you're at crunch time there. It's white flag has already flown. You're basically deciding whether you're ending the race or not. It's tough to be consistent. It's tough to make the right call every single time. I have trouble finding fault in that. You know, I think it's a lot easier to dissect it after the fact and say, oh, if they had just done this, then, you know, this might have been different. It might have been more exciting. I don't know. I do understand the frustration on the fans' part in that at Daytona, they let them just keep on going. You know, there were even like Riley Herbst wrecked at the start of that white flag lap, or not wrecked. He kind of spun out, but then he saved it. And I mean, hell of a save, but we've seen cautions thrown for less, right? Okay. We hold on for that. They're wrecking around the backstretch, and yeah, you can say like the race is over after they hit the checkered flag. So no one's racing around and in danger of like running over some crashed people again, but it's a mile and a half now at Atlanta. It's a, you know, a little bit, shorter time for them to get back around. I don't know. There's a million different variables that go into a decision like this, and you've got half a second to make that decision. So I don't envy whoever is in charge of that. And I also have trouble finding fault in it, because I don't know if I could do much better myself.
Hey, look, hey, Ryan, how you doing? Ryan Hill tuning in. Look, let me ask you, Ryan, first of all, your thoughts on the inconsistent call by NASCAR. Secondly, your boy Joey Logano was probably the slowest of the Fords. Let's call a spade, especially at the Penske. He was getting the Penske down power. It was like they were on, it's like they were having an electric strike to save a little money. So
it's an odd year. So they're like, we're not going to throw anything at Joey Logano. We'll save it for 26.
I don't think it's going to look. I think hot take. I think Logano, and I could be way wrong. I was wrong about his third championship. So understand this is a Logandy take. I think this is the start of the kind of the decline a little bit.
Wow. That is pretty hot. I think he's still got some in the tank. He's not as old as some of the other, veterans. He's only 34.
We broke it back. Hot. Look, it's not that I think he's getting too old. It's that this is going to be his 17th full-time Cup season, and that's a lot of wear and tear and time, and just wear and tear and time. As far as the inconsistent call goes, let me just get my dog a milk bone here.
I mean, yeah, it's his 17th year, but he takes every other year off. Right.
Takes every other year off. Ryan, listen to that, Ryan. I didn't say that. That was
Ryan says, I know you're hoping it's a decline. Logano has still looked good this year. He won 4 races last year.
Let me make something clear, Ryan, before I talk about this inconsistent call by NASCAR. I'm not hoping for a decline. Do you know how miserable you are to talk to you on Sundays when your boy struggles? I don't necessarily want him to win every race, but nah, you can get downtrodden, buddy, and then next thing you know, I got two Eeyores in my life. One's just a lot better looking than the other.
Listen, Logano finished 12th. He finished 12th. That's respectable.
It's not bad, but with the way the Fords were, hot take here, that's a disappointment. Yes, I know he led laps, and credit to him, right? But did it ever feel to you, Adam, and maybe I'm off base here, so I'm literally asking, did it ever feel to you like Joey Logano was really in contention to win the race? Yes, I know he led last, but did you ever feel like, man, he could really win this thing?
He led the most laps of anyone. He led 83 laps. It doesn't matter.
It didn't pass the smell test. I never felt like, yeah, Joey Logano's gonna win this race.
I think at these drafting tracks, I don't really put a lot of stock in how many laps you lead. I mean, Christopher Bell led one lap and was the final one. That's all you need, baby. Right? All you need. So
I won the Daytona 499.
I appreciate, for the sake of the viewer, that they fight as hard as they do to get to the lead. But really, like, I do sometimes wonder about when they're throwing blocks, 50 laps into this thing. And it's like, you guys, you got to make it another 200 laps here before, like, just let them go for now. Let's, keep it clean. Now, it's more fun to watch when they're going back and forth or, pulling the Carson Hocevar moves all day long. But yeah, I don't know. There's no extra point for leading the most laps.
Look, Ryan, you're right. I was not having a good time at a certain point of yesterday's contest. I wonder why. Ryan said they went for speed instead of handling, and once he got in the back, it was a struggle to get back up there. I'm not trying to hate on your boy. Bailey agrees. I'm not trying to hate on your boy. I expected better. I did. Did you, Adam?
I don't know. I think it's so early, and the first two races here being on drafting tracks, it's hard to get a feel of who's got the speed this year, who's got not even the speed, but who's, you know, who's looking strong this year. I think, yes, we have two winners here in William Byron and Christopher Bell that maybe some people would have put in their championship four at the beginning of the year, right? So no surprises there, but we could have easily had two winners being John Hunter Nemechek and Carson Hocevar, and people would have been like, what the hell is going on here, right? Like, we were close to that.
Oh, you wait until you see the show on Monday after if that ever takes place.
I know, but it's, you know what I mean, right? Like, just through luck of the draw a little bit, we've had two winners that no one is batting an eye at as far as just like looking at the stat sheet. Who are the two winners so far? Byron and Bell. Okay, no surprises there. But it's not that the races have been predictable in any way. It's just the way they've finished. So,
all right. Well, let's get to Ryan's next comment. He said he expected better as well, but we can't win them all. You're right. Much better spot at this point in the year than last. True. Last year, he said they were like 34th in points after two races. You're right. Look, I can't disagree with you there, buddy. What are your thoughts now? Let's talk about it on the inconsistent call at the end of NASCAR. I know, Adam, you gave your thoughts. Let me give mine before we move on. Like you, I'm not upset. I'm really not upset. Like, people have to remember, or keep in mind, I don't remember. People have to keep in mind, when you see a head-on hit like you saw yesterday with Josh Berry, I mean, because that was a head-on deal. That was at the high speeds, because I worry about the dangers of this Atlanta with the high speeds and the tight, compact track. Compared to Day and Daytona, there's not a ton of room to kind of lose momentum, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see somebody go head-on like that, I'm not going to fault them for throwing the flag. Now, you can say, well, such and such, but why not err on the side of caution? And keep in mind, there is not a bigger 43 fan on the planet than me. And I'm not upset. Like, yeah, I hate the rule is what the rule is, but I'm not upset that they threw the caution of that duel. Why not err on the side of literal caution just in case somebody is hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And you might say, well, it wouldn't matter if somebody was hurt. They're not going to get to them any quicker because they're not coming back. Fine. But do you know the narrative that can be spun if the race continued for even another lap while somebody was hurt, mm-hmm. even if it didn't really matter in the long run as far as their safety goes? The narrative from the media and people that are just kind of looking down on the sport, you got to remember, their optics are a thing here, folks, and you might not like it, but it is. And so I'm not upset that they threw the ooh. Yes, I get people's complaint about the inconsistency. That's a fair point. That is a fair complaint anytime. But I'm not going to be too upset when they err on the side of caution for the sake of safety. I'm just not.
If you consider the worst-case scenario on both ends, right? Like, worst-case scenario, you throw the caution, the race finishes under caution, it's less exciting, sure. The other alternative is the worst case scenario. If you don't throw the caution and someone dies, you know, heaven forbid, that's a big decision to have to make for the sake of like, oh, we want a green flag finish.
And NASCAR does too.
NASCAR does too. Of course.
So I do. I just don't, for Eddie says, remember we're going road course racing this weekend. So it's a different playing field for some of these boys. Amen. Mm-hmm. I think we get a third straight different winner this weekend. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't see Christopher Bell or William Byron, for that matter, winning this race. I just don't.
Bell's sneaky good at road courses, but I'm with you. I don't see that happening. We'll get to our picks later, though.
Absolutely. No question about it. All right. Let me ask you a question, Adam.
Okay.
Is this the best super speedway racing that NASCAR has to offer? Why or why not?
It's a good question. I can say that because I wrote it as a question. But no, I think honestly, I think this race was more exciting than the Daytona 500 as far as like thrills. I would have liked if it had stayed green a little more. I am a sucker for some green flag pit stops, which I think is fun. So yeah, that third stage, there was a kind of a couple cautions back to back, but I guess that's also the product of putting the same thing on a track and making it smaller, right? Like, you know, from a 2.5 mile Daytona to 1.5 mile, you're taking a mile of real estate out of there. So it's a little harder to navigate and not bump into each other. I don't know what you can do to make Daytona or Talladega better necessarily, but so far Atlanta's making a case for it. I'm not sure I'm ready to go full on best just because I think the fanfare around the Daytona and Talladega races is a little bit better, but the product on the track, Atlanta's been pretty darn good. What do you say?
You know, I think it's a good question, but I have two answers. I think as far as pure racing, I think right now, yes. Like, as far as entertainment goes, right? But I don't like, as a viewer, how quickly the race goes. Like, I mean, I know that it got a little lengthy there in the third stage because we started having carnage. I get that. But those laps at this type of, at this style of racing, at this mile and a half, little, like I said, I call it the love child in jest, but that's really all I can think to call it. They fly by so quickly. And yeah. So for me, I will still, as far as a Super Speedway goes, for my money right now, and this could always change. We go back to Daytona in the summer. We got two Talladega races, and we got another Atlanta race in June. So as of right now, I'll still take Talladega for my money over Daytona or Atlanta, just because it's NASCAR's Frankenstein, right? It's so big, it's so wide, it's so mammoth, and it just feels like one false move and everybody's going to fly around like lotto balls. And so so for my money, as far as purely an entertainment aspect, yeah, I think it's probably the best racing per se, but as a viewer trying to get the bang for the buck, Bailey disagrees. I still want to go with Talladega.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, even if we have 10 more races at each track and Atlanta is the best racing product, I don't think there's ever going to be a moment where people call for, you know, let's move the Daytona 500 to Atlanta. You know, like there's history there. There's some gravitas to just, you know, being in Daytona. Right. So I think that'll always be the premier spot, but it'd be nice if we could find a way to make the racing a little better there.
Absolutely.
And I say that as someone who didn't hate the race at the Daytona 500. Like I enjoyed it. I mean, might have been the fact that I was there watching live that certainly helped, but I thought it was super exciting. So
Freddie says, let's turn Texas into a super speedway style race just like Atlanta.
That's not
like
a bad
idea.
Idea,
Freddie, but I don't want too many of these type of races on the schedule. I think we've, in my opinion, we've maxed it out. I think two of each is good.
Well, because yeah, Atlanta's got two dates too, right? So you're doing six of these super speedway style tracks, or I guess six races over the course of your season. I think
you don't want to, because the problem with NASCAR is sometimes they can go with too much of a good thing. Remember, the reason there's so many mile and a half cookie cutters is because in the 90s and early 2000s, they worked. And so NASCAR wore it out. And that's why there's so many on the slate. And you don't want to wear out a good thing. You know, it's the old, how can I miss you if you won't ever leave?
Right.
And so I think we've hit the sweet spot as far as given six opportunities of a quote unquote wild card winner. And again, I do worry about the safety of these I worry about it every week, of course, but on these types of these tracks, it's a little different. So I'm not opposed to it, Freddie. I'm not opposed to it at all, but I just feel like we've reached the sweet spot of having that type of style on the schedule. Now, maybe we could turn it into a short track or something. That would be different. I'm not saying we shouldn't do something with Texas.
Yeah, Texas needs some help.
But I just think we've reached the sweet spot of the drafting style tracks. Freddie says it'd be nice to see Chicagoland come back in Kentucky. Completely agree. Fun fact, mm-hmm. I had tickets to the last Kentucky race and COVID got me.
Oh, no.
Yep. So I guess I would have seen Cole Custer's first and currently only win if I'd have been there. Peter and I sure did. All right, let's talk a little Xfinity here before we move it along. Austin Hill does what Austin Hill does. Did you get a chance to watch the race?
I did not get a chance, but I caught up on some highlights. He's a bad man on these drafting tracks, and honestly, he was looking good at Daytona too when I was there, but had some, I think, engine troubles or something. I can't remember what it was now, but he ended up not finishing that race. Is he the best super speedway racer in all three series right now? Like, is there someone better than him in the Cup series?
No. Nope. And I say that because, like, right now, Austin Cindric's rate, truly he is. But the ability for Austin Hill to lead like he does for as long as he does is what makes it wow. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it. I mean, Earnhardt Jr. and senior level, it does, right? And I mean, he's getting ready to tie, I believe, Earnhardt Jr. in super speedway style laps led.
Really?
By the time we get to the next Talladega, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Because it ain't like he's been doing this that long.
I know. Yeah. We've seen him up in the Cup Series a couple times, but it hasn't translated yet, but. You know, we'll see. I think he might be, you know, as they say, pound for pound, one of the best at super speedways.
I don't disagree. I can't. I just can't disagree with you. RCR gets back-to-back wins. Think about that.
Yep.
Jesse Love last week, and now
mm-hmm.
Austin Bobby Hill. Freddie says Austin Hill's the best right now in Xfinity for drafting style racing when it comes to Daytona and Atlanta. Now, when it comes to Daytona, he hasn't got it done yet. That's a good point. Freddie brought that up to me. We talked a little bit privately over the weekend. It's a good point. He hasn't got it done to Daytona yet. So can he get off that schneid here in a couple months?
That is interesting. I wonder why. It's just luck of the draw or what. But certainly, I mean, I'd have him as my favorite when Talladega rolls around, right?
Absolutely.
Hard to count them out.
He'll probably be my pick on when we talk the extended picks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's speaking of picks I made. Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Did what Kyle Busch does in the Truck Series, but it wasn't the classic Kyle Busch domination win by any stretch. He made a great move at the end of the race and pulled it out. Great side draft. You know. Credit to Kyle Busch, but I also think it showed just how competitive right now the Truck Series is. Because again, this was not your classic Kyle Busch dominates. It wasn't. Yeah. You know, did you get a chance to catch some highlights of this one?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What were your takeaways?
I'm surprised in my older age here that there's a part of me that's cheering for Kyle Busch. I feel like, you know, 3 years ago, I would have never uttered those words ever and never thought I would ever utter those words.
Can't relate.
I don't know. I'm happy for him that he went down and won. I think I was reading, I think he hasn't won in the Truck Series since like last April or something as well. So it's not like he's been dominating there all the time, right? Like, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or an equipment thing or what. I don't know. I'm going back to the Cup race a little bit. We saw shades of the old Kyle Busch come back in his tirade against Carson Hocevar over the radio. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I'm happy for him.
Boy, did we. We sure did. I was like, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
We're starting to see him pop out a little bit because remember at Daytona after he came out of the Info Care Center, all of a sudden that guy was – I saw that guy creeping out. I'm like, oh. Freddie says, I wonder if Kyle hits that 70 career win mark in the Truck Series this year. I'm going to say no. Because his schedule is North Wilkesboro and Watkins Glen and Charlotte and Nashville, I believe. That's it, the final four he has on the slate, if I'm not mistaken. And I just don't see it. And I'll tell you why. It's not anything. I think Kyle Busch could go win every truck race you ever put him in. But I don't know if the Spider equipment, for whatever reason, is as good as the KBM equipment. And I know it's – I know theoretically it should be the same equipment. I don't know if they've not maintained it as well. I don't know what's changed. Obviously, we don't know what goes on off-season after off-season. But I just don't feel like it's as strong as the KBM equipment was, which is a little odd considering it should be kind of the same.
It used to be Toyota, though, right? And then when he moved to Chevrolet with RCR, they moved over as – well, it became Spire. And, yeah, so, I mean, I wonder if there's some learning going on there. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you, though. I think he's not as competitive – or I should say he's not as dominant as he once was in the truck series. And I think equipment has something to do with that.
I got to agree with you. But I think he gets, I'll give him one more this year in the truck series, but I don't think he wins all four.
Yeah.
All right. With that, what do you say we get to our.
Let's do it.
Speedway Scoop. All right, Adam, there's a lot to talk about. Let's talk about it. Tell me about Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this news came out after our last show, and I was also in Florida, so I don't really remember all of that. But, yeah, Chase Briscoe, first of all, huge penalty. 100 points, I think it's a $100,000 fine to the team. James Small ejected for four races, although they are appealing it. So James Small was there at Atlanta this past weekend. Yeah, something to do with his spoiler, you know, just some modified parts, which is a big no-no with NASCAR. They are claiming that they've got a case for this appeal, saying something about how the pieces weren't really fitting. So they had to make the holes a little bigger. And I don't know. These appeals never seem to really go the way of the teams. It feels like they always side with NASCAR, so I'm not hopeful for him in that sense. There's no timetable yet for when this appeal is going to be heard, probably after COTA, I believe is what I read. But yeah, 100 points, that's brutal. You know, right now, Logan, you are ahead of Chase Briscoe in the standings in the Cup Series in the NASCAR.
It is my honor. It is my to be in front of a JGR driver. I mean, you would not. But dreams do come true, folks. No, as it stands right now, after last night's Atlanta race, Chase Briscoe is currently minus 98 as far as the cut line goes. Now, again, we are two races in. Let's not you know, throw the baby out the bathwater, the old saying here, but. Minus 98 is a steep hill no matter what point of the year you're in.
Yeah. I mean, like, I suppose if it's going to happen, better now so they know what they're working with. And, I mean, I'm not ruling out a 19-car victory this year. I think, you know, it's a possibility, especially if they keep cheating like that. I mean, it does make you question that pole at Daytona, right? Like, was there something going on that made him that much faster? I don't know. But yeah, I could see Briscoe winning his way in, but yeah, on points alone, that's a steep battle, and you're two races in and you're already almost 100 points out.
You're not kidding. And yeah. He is an underrated sleeper on road courses, though. Let's give him that.
Yeah.
Let's give him that.
And I think he's in better equipment now. You know, Stuart Haas, especially in their last, you know, their dying days, I feel like not as much attention was being paid to the program there. So I don't know. I think he's got a shot, but there you go. Maybe that's a sleeper pick for COTA this weekend. Who knows?
Stay tuned for Race Me First Picks.
Yeah.
Freddie says, go ahead and read that comment there, Adam.
Yeah, it's nice to see that Aaron's has come back sponsoring a team again, and it's nice to see as well Arby's coming back to sponsor. It's nice to see these old sponsors coming back into the sport.
Absolutely. Yeah. Arby's, we have the meats.
Who is Arby's sponsoring? I've missed this.
He is they are sponsoring Cody Ware.
Oh my, okay, there you go. Yeah, Cody Ware, who famously blocked me on Twitter. So maybe that's why I didn't see it.
No, Raycard Racing announced a deal with, of course, they already had an Arby's deal in Top Fuel in the NHRA. They run a, Raycard also runs a Top Fuel team in NHRA. And Clay Milliken was sponsored by Arby's for last year's U.S. Nationals in Indy. We were there on site, Peter and I were.
Yeah.
And they announced an extension of that deal this year, including the Atlanta race. Cody Ware will be sponsored for 12 races by Arby's.
Nice.
And Clay Milliken and NHRA will be sponsored for at least two so far, including the U.S. Nationals in August. That is that's a big weekend for motorsports as a whole.
Yeah.
So, good deal for Rick Ware Racing. Gotta give him credit.
Honestly, yeah, I'm not as familiar with some of the older sponsors, so yeah, it doesn't mean as much to me. But I mean, if there are companies that are willing to invest money in NASCAR right now, I'm for it. So,
well, the Aaron's car for Todd Gilliland. Have you heard announcers slip up and say the term "lucky dog" since you've been watching?
Oh yeah, I've heard "lucky dog." Yeah.
And so what that was it used to be sponsored by. It's the free pass now, but what that was, let me give you a little history lesson. Was the free pass used to be called the Aaron's Dream Machine Lucky Dog for years, and so that's what it was called, and so that's why some older announcers will still slip up and say the Lucky Dog, because it was based on Aaron's and their support of the sport. And so yeah, it is a big deal to see them back, because Michael Waltrip and Aaron's were absolutely all over NASCAR during the mid-2000s. It was, you could not go a week without seeing one of their commercials. So it is cool to see them back. Completely agree with you, Freddie. And that's been a tidbit in NASCAR history with
all. There you go.
And so it is really cool to see that. Yeah, we'll have to come up with something on that. By the way, hot take, Peter, get this one ready. Hot take. Chase Briscoe doesn't win this year. Hot.
Well, don't just give it to him that easily, Peyton.
Is that not a hot take?
I know it is. I just, you know, she's not even considering it. She's just pushing the button because you told her to.
I agree with you.
I'm not sure which one of us she agrees
with.
Hold on.
Come on back, Peter. Come on back. We got it now. Who do you agree with?
You.
You don't think Chase Briscoe wins? Will you quit leaving? You busy?
Yes, actually.
She's busy.
I'm producing.
She's producing the show.
So you don't think Chase Briscoe wins?
No, I do not.
Nice.
We'll see. Love you.
Love you.
It's a triangle.
Triangle.
That's a triangle.
That's I have cerebral palsy. Motor function issues happen, bro.
There you go. Speaking of hot takes, Freddie says Connor Zilich wins the cup race on Sunday.
Could happen. He's going to be in the 87.
Trackhouse machine, is it not?
Yes, it is. You can check out the intro list, racefromrefresh.com.
There you go.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, folks. Don't
be afraid. We do have some other news we wanted to touch on here. Why don't we move on?
Yep. Probably the biggest news of the week was Corey, after, you know, because the Chase Briscoe thing was pretty early on.
It was last week, pretty much. Yeah.
Corey Heim is signed a developmental deal with 2311 Racing. He's going to run select, cup starts this year. His first cup start is going to be at Kansas for 2311. He's going to run select, Xfinity starts in partnership with them with Sam Hunt Racing. And I got to ask you, give me your thoughts on this deal, but we got to talk about it. I got some questions. Give me your thought, overall arcing thoughts, but I got questions.
Oh, I thought you were about to ask me a question. I was waiting for the question, but I see you just want my thoughts on this.
Give me the overarching thoughts, and then I got questions.
That's okay. I was looking up whether Corey Heim had driven any Cup Series races already, and I think he has.
He has. He's ran three so far.
Three so far, yeah.
Huge leg is a motor club.
There you go. Yeah. So I know this.
When Eric Jones broke his back at Talladega.
Right. Okay. There you go. See, you remember these things better than I do. I think it's a good signing for 2311. I think Corey Heim's a talented driver, and it kind of paves the way for him to maybe, you know, when he does transition up to the Cup Series, to have a ride with 2311. He's already in Toyota as it is, so that's, you know, that works. I know that you have sort of a vested interest in this story because there was, you know, especially because he filled in for Eric Jones, like you said, there was some rumblings that Corey Heim was going to be a future Legacy Motor Club star. And this kind of would lead you to believe that's not going to happen anymore, hey?
That is my assumption.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. Here comes those questions. Does this, in your mind, essentially guarantee that in the next year or two, he's getting a full-time ride with 2311?
I don't know if I'd go a guarantee. It's going to depend on a few different things. First of all, I mean, this whole lawsuit with 2311 and whether it even has charter status moving forward, I don't, you know, who knows, but that will play a role. And I mean, if that's still going on, it might not be a desirable place for Corey Heim if he, you know, and I would imagine he'll have plenty of offers if 2311 is not his final destination in the Cup Series. So that's a possibility. I don't see him going to Legacy anymore because of this. And I mean, I don't know. I think he's doing so well down in the Truck Series that it is pretty much a sure thing. I know I'm contradicting myself. I can't imagine him coming up and running some Cup races and like doing so poorly to the point where they're like, no, we're not going to actually bring you up. You know, like, I think these young drivers, they don't always get the results in the Cup Series, but it's probably just good for him to get his feet wet a little. What do you think?
I think it's a borderline guarantee that he's in the Cup Series by 2027. I think it's going to be 2026, but I'll give a year of leeway in case they want to put him through the paces in the Xfinity Series full time next season. I don't think that's going to happen. My assumption is he's going to be a full-time driver, lawsuit pending, and I think lawsuit will still be pending because you can slow walk these things for years, folks. I mean, no matter whose side you're on, who you think's right or wrong, they can take forever and a day.
And so I
think that'll still be a thing, so I'm not going to focus on that right now because you can't until you know the judgment. We're not even getting to the argument of the case yet. We're still talking about if they can have a charter while the case is going on.
Right.
We are absolutely going to be a while.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way. No, I think he's going to be at 2311 next year is my guess. If not, certainly by 2027. And so let me ask you, Adam, who is the odd man out? Because remember, you can only have, assuming they have charters, and again, I'm just going to assume they would do until they don't. So when they have charters, you can only have three charters unless you've been grandfathered in, and that's only applying to JGR and HMS. That will not happen to another team. So under the current rules, you can only have three charters unless you're Penske or Rick Hendrick. So who's the odd man out right now? Who's under the most pressure at 2311, assuming Corey Heim is the next in line?
Yeah, that's a really good question. My brain wants to say Bubba Wallace is on the hot seat a little bit, but I also know what a good relationship he has with Michael Jordan and honestly, Denny Hamlin for that matter. I think they have a great relationship. And so I think that counts for something. But again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I want to say, you know, his comment at the end of last season where, you know, his teammate is fighting for the championship and he's not even making the playoffs and they should in theory be in similar equipment. It's not going to cut it. Right. So I think this is an important year for Bubba to kind of show up. I mean, he's done well so far, but he's also good at drafting tracks. So we'll see how that continues. I know road courses are not his forte. Riley Herbst is so new and he does bring some funding. So it's hard to, think of him being, you know, a one and done sort of 1 year only sort of deal there. And then Tyler Reddick, he's your best driver. He's probably the, you know, one of the championship contenders this year. I don't know. Do you run a fourth car that's not a charter, quote unquote?
You could, because right now, and again, the landscape in NASCAR changes so often. But you could. You only seem to need the charter during the Daytona Speed Weeks so far. Again, things can always change.
Right.
But that is also less money, even if you don't have a charter, period.
Right.
So I don't know. I think Riley Herbst would be the odd man out. Bubba, because you talk about funding, Bubba still has a boatload of it. Columbia, DoorDash, to name a few. Of course, Air Force. Air Force has been very loyal to him. They left Petty to go with him.
McDonald's,
yes. You know, he's still got a lot of funding, a lot of support. So I would say Riley's probably the odd man out, which again makes you wonder what's next for Riley Herbst. If Corey Heim is indeed in a 2311 car, I don't know. Don't have a, like you, I agree. I think the Corey Heim to Legacy Motor Club idea is, I'm not going to say dead, but it's certainly on life support.
Yeah.
That would, and it depends on John Hunter Nemechek, right? Right now he's having a good start, but again, like you said, it's been two drafting tracks. We'll see. Let's see what happens. Let's not count chickens before they hatch.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I feel like right now, Corey Heim is destined for 2311 full time very, very soon in the grand scheme. If Toyota really wants him up next year, could they bump John Hunter for Corey Heim no matter what? Because let's not kid ourselves, manufacturers play a role in who goes where.
Yep.
And if you don't think so, I got oceanfront property to sell you in Arizona, my friend. I just do. Could he be an option at Gibbs? We don't know what's going on with Denny Hamlin. We don't know what's going on with Denny Hamlin. We don't know. Freddie says, can you see John Hunter going back to Xfinity after this year to run for a championship? I don't think he'd want to.
I don't think he'd want to. He's already done the whole, you know, demotion to try and get ahead sort of thing. Went back to the truck series. And
in his heart of hearts, he wants to go to 2311 or Joe Gibbs Racing. He wants to take the next step up, because right now, let's be real, that's what Legacy Motor Club is, that you just step and stuff.
But also, I mean, it's not unheard of for drivers to switch manufacturer, right? Sure. If an opportunity opens up in a Ford or a Chevy or a Dodge.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks. You know, you got to go where they're offering you the money too, right? Or they're offering you the ride. Yeah. So.
And, you know, again, we'll see. Right now, John Hunter's off to a great start. Let's be real about that. Yeah. Two top 10 finishes,
top 10s in a row.
You know, we'll take it. So we'll see. Maybe he earns that 42 ride and he's not on the hot seat, but it just felt like coming into the year, given Legacy's kind of history of impatience so far in this iteration of the team, it felt like he was on the hot seat. We'll see if he still is. Got to move it along. The Clash is expected to return to Bowman Gray in 2026. What are your thoughts, quickly?
Yeah, sure. Let's, you know, I wouldn't want to confirm or not confirm. I wouldn't want to, you know, bet on it being there year and year. Wow, I really can't speak right now, but you know what I mean? I wouldn't think that it's a good idea to go say, oh, it's going to be there until 2029, for example. I think give it 2 years. I think you get your first year where you learn how things went and what could go better, what could, you know, what you want to do next time you do it. And then from there, let's move it around, see what happens. And that doesn't rule it out coming back in like 2030 or something, right? Like move it around a few times, try different things, see what happens.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't really want it back there, but I feel like it was given the success of the event in terms of the pomp, the circumstance, and certainly the attendance and how lively the crowd was. I feel like it's pretty clear it's coming back there in 26, barring something unforeseen in the negotiations as far as dotting the I's, crossing the T's, so to speak. All right, Parker Kligerman's DQ unfortunately stands, and I'm not saying that I disagree with NASCAR. I don't know enough to say I disagree. I'm saying I like the idea of an underdog winner, and that got taken away.
Yep.
Any thoughts before we move on?
I wasn't super hopeful that.
Again, it seems like usually when NASCAR makes these calls, the appeals people tend to stick with them. And remember, it's supposed to be an independent appeal process. So we'll see what happens. Now, they can't go to the quote unquote Supreme Court in NASCAR because that doesn't apply. to those DQs.
However, I don't feel like NASCAR is out there just picking and choosing, like, oh, we're gonna disqualify Parker Kligerman because we don't like him, or, you know, there's got to be something that's gone wrong there. It's, you know, going through tech, it's all lasers and all that stuff. Like, clearly something was not right. And while you can state your case and say, oh, it's because of this or that, or we had reason for it, the rule is the rule. You broke it. It sucks. I love Parker Kligerman. I would have loved to see him win, but not to be this time.
Yep, absolutely. I don't disagree at all. And we'll see how it shakes out. Again, that can't be appealed any further because the DQs don't apply to that. Now, Chase Briscoe can go all the way to the right. Ultimate appeals panel, so that could be a long process should they decide to go with that.
Could be, yeah.
All right. Again, we talked a little bit about this last week, Peter and I did, but it looks more and more like Dodge is going to return to the sport in some form either next year or the year after. The heavy rumor is they've applied for to be a manufacturer next year in the truck series, and then maybe back in the Cup Series by 27-28. Like I said last week, and I know you were on vacation and working the Daytona 500 and all that, more manufacturers are a good thing. Period, the end. I don't care who it is. I don't care what make. I don't care what country. If you want on in and you can help the sport, I think that's a good thing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't care if it's Dodge or if it's BMW or if it's, you know, we've heard the rumors all the time, but yeah, Nissan, who cares? Like, I know I wasn't around for this. I know there was some pushback when Toyota was entering the market, and
there still is.
This is an American sport. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think 95% of Toyotas are made in America anyways.
Usually but, Kentucky, most of them in Kentucky.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't get much more NASCAR than that, but, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Just increase the investment in the sport and the sport will continue to do well.
Well, you know, yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a story during closing time with producer Peyton about how Toyota still is not looked highly upon in NASCAR by a lot of the older fans. Anywho, Adam, speaking of Daytona.
Yeah.
Speaking of Daytona, you got us a little video here.
I do, yeah. So I wasn't ready to give it to you guys last week. I was still a little bit on vacation mode. And so I threw this together. It's nothing exciting. Don't get too pumped. There's just a different, you know, a look at things from the stands and a couple different clips and stuff. I don't know. I'll roll it here, Peyton. I don't want to both of us push it at the same time, but here we go. This is my trip to Daytona with some lame little music under it. Here we go.
Let's enjoy it. We'll be right back.
Well, there you go.
Enjoyed it, my friend.
Just a little trip down to Florida, checking things out. Yeah, it was an awesome.
Enjoyed it. I liked you got a shot of the King's hat there. That was
cool. I did that just for you. I saw it out on the concourse. I was like, if I don't put this in the video, Logan's gonna be mad. So
yeah, well, look, the grin that came over my face when I saw it, boy, you that was good stuff. Anywho, I hope you enjoyed it. We ought to put that on our YouTube channel. I think that would.
There you go. Yeah, we'll put it up on YouTube for anyone who cares.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to subscribe to that YouTube channel, by the way. Race and Refresh. Don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button. Don't be afraid. Anywho, what do you say? Look, we're getting down in the nitty-gritty. So what do you say? It's getting time for weekend preview.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, let's break it down. Let us know, where is everybody this weekend?
Well, so the NASCAR Cup Series and Xfinity Series are going to Circuit of the Americas, COTA. I will be there as well. I did pull this up. I wanted to just share with people. It's a new track layout here. So, oh, like, this is not very good because it's dark background here. Well, you know what? That's fine. We'll just this is the original layout that we've run in the last few years, and it's this is looking great here. We need a white background somehow, but it's fine. It's a new layout for the race this year, and it's a shorter track layout, so that's a little bit interesting. No one really knows how long they can run on fuel. No one really knows anything about it. So we're going to check that out. 95 laps at COTA for the Cup Series. So yeah, it should be interesting. Do you have a pick for Xfinity?
For Xfinity, I'm going to take, it's tough sledding, but I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to go outside the box here. All right. Ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to go with the one and only Sheldon Creed.
Oh, wow. I was thinking that, you know, I like Sheldon Creed, and I would love to see him get his first win. Finally, you know, he's been sniffing at it for a while.
Itching.
Yeah. It's a road course. It's a new layout road course. I don't know. Do you see someone random winning it? Like maybe one of these rookies. I'm looking at the list here.
Yeah. Are you pulling it up on refresh.com?
I am. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, Connor Zilich. I know some. Was it Freddie who said Connor Zilich wins in the Cup?
Freddie says. Freddie Bannister says Sam Mayer wins the Xfinity race. Neither the Dinger or SVG wins the Cup, or he says maybe a surprise winner at Connor Zilich. I would love to see Connor Zilich get it done. Love that.
I mean,
new winners are a good thing.
He could do it in the Xfinity or Cup, I guess, right? Because he's running the Cup race. So.
Or he can double dip.
Wow. Oh, that's.
I'm saying
it might be too hot.
It's technically
too hot to handle.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold, baby. I'm saying the possibility is technically there. I'm just saying. Yeah. How do you quickly? I know we got to wrap it up, but how do you expect this new layout to affect things? Because I don't have a clue.
I think part of, I mean, if this graphic worked better, just that really, really long straightaway between turns 11 and 12 there, I think there was just no passing opportunities there. I think it's shorter. It's better for the fans because the cars go around more often. Mm-hmm. Like you're not waiting, you know, 2.5 minutes between each time you're seeing the cars go around. I think there's multiple things that went into it. But as far as what it'll do to the race, I think what I'm excited for most is just that no one really knows. You know, I think once you've raced at the first circuit there a few times, you kind of get a sense of like, okay, our car can make it this many laps on fuel. Like this is the strategy we go with. NASCAR pulls a fast one on you, and now it's a new layout, and all the old data is kind of out the window a little bit. So I think just seeing people learn on the fly probably will, I don't know. I think that might play into the hands of some of the better funded teams because they'll have a little bit more time with research and simulator time and all that. But who knows? We'll see. It's a wild card.
Absolutely. We shall see. Practice and qualifying going to be big this weekend.
Yeah.
This Saturday, remember, those are on Amazon Prime now, exclusively during the Fox portion of the year. All right, we got to move it along. IndyCar has their season opener as we begin the march to the month of May. St. Petersburg season opener. We'll see how that goes. Of course, that starts their Fox debut.
Right, yeah.
So we'll see how that all shakes out.
The streets of St. Pete.
Might dial into that one if I have some time and I'm able to do so. F1 starts their preseason testing this week in Bahrain. So we're starting to get it going. NHRA is back next week, and so we're starting to get that constant stream of motorsports all the time going, and we love that.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you updated on where everybody's doing their thing. And for now, though, it's time, and right now I'm not as happy about this segment, but it's time for Racing Refresh Picks. All right, let's bring in producer Peyton, and then Adam, you can update us on the score.
She's coming. There she is. We're going to breeze through this because we are running a little overtime here, but we've got, Freddie says the Chamber is on Saturday night.
Yes, it is.
Is that a wrestling thing?
Elimination Chamber, absolutely. We'll be dialed in, ready to go. Make no mistake about it. Let's go.
I'll be living it up in Austin, Texas. I'll be too busy to watch that. And also, I just never.
The Rock and John Cena are going to be in the house in Canada.
There you go. So yes, our co-host ChatGPT
is kicking our keys,
kicking our butts here. Again, I don't think ChatGPT is really familiar with the strategy call here, so. We may catch up again later, but pulled another victory, two in a row, and picked Larson last week, so that was a good pick. Logan, you came in last again. You get to pick first. Who are you picking for Coda?
Well, I gotta start getting out the schneid here. So I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go AJ Allmendinger.
All right, producer Peyton, you're up next.
I'm going to go with, I thought he had a nickname and I don't remember it, so I'll just say his real name, Alex Bowman.
Bowman the Showman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. I am going to go with Ross Chastain. Got his first win there, and I think he'll repeat, so... Chastain for the win, and let's just check in with what ChatGPT has to say here. ChatGPT is going with William Byron.
All right,
to win.
He won there last year.
Did he? Yeah.
All right.
There you go. Well, he's using up a lot of big names early, so we'll see if that lasts. But there you go. That's our picks for the week. Check in next week to see how we did.
All right, every great episode of the Speed Syndicate must come to an end, but before we do that, it's time for a little closing time.
Closing time.
That's right, for all you peeps, folks, audio listeners, and anybody else, this is where the panel, you know, says their parting words on any topic they care to desire. Usually it's racing related, but not always. So with that, I want to start, and I want to use my final words for producer Peyton to tell us a quick story. I told Adam that among the old school fans, Toyota was still not very thrilled. And you met a person at your day job. I'm not going to say where out of respect for privacy, but at your day job, you met an individual that you were wondering where this was going, didn't you? you just never know about old Logan. And you had an interaction with a gentleman. Can you quickly summarize how that went, just to give Adam an idea of where Toyota still stands in some of the minds of the older fans?
Yes. At my day job, this gentleman was wearing a Dale Jr. jacket, and I said, "Oh, are you a NASCAR fan?" It was the Monday after the 500. He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Me too. Did you watch the 500 last night? And he said, yeah, and the right car won. And I said, are you a Byron fan? And he said, well, I'm a Chevy fan. And I was like, well, I'm a Penske fan. And he said, that's good. As long as no Toyotas win.
Really?
And especially not Bubba Wallace.
Fair enough. Wow. Yeah,
Toyota still gets some heat. She told the guy that I was a Richard Petty fan, and he said that he was too until Petty went to Toyota.
Wow.
I mean, you think about that. That's just where some of the old school fans, and there's still a large swath of them. Toyota's just not very well accepted. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that and use my final words for that. So for that, Mr. Carabine, final words, and then we're gonna go with the lady to bring it home.
Yeah, looking forward to getting out to COTA, checking it out. Maybe they'll, I think I said in our article, maybe they'll let me go up the tower. I'm not sure how that works. Go check things out. Also probably going to indulge in some Southern barbecue while I'm down there. Looking forward to that. Also something to look forward to on Racing Refresh this week. I believe tomorrow our new F1 writer, Ryan, has prepared something that is ranking all the new F1 liveries. So we got some photos, we got some kind of playful jabs at some of the bad ones, and that'll be coming out tomorrow. So check that out on the website. We also got, you know, our post-race inspection, which is a little article Logan and I write together. We're doing stat chat Saturdays. We're doing power rankings. We're doing it all. So
and a lot of hot con coming from COTA.
There you go. Yeah, exactly right. I'll be covering that live. So come check it out, and good to be here.
All right, beautiful lady, bring us home. Final words.
The way my hair is right now, I look like the vampires in Interview with the Vampire from the 90s.
You look like Jonathan Taylor Thomas from the 90s. Do you even know who that is? Oh my gosh, I just realized you probably don't know who that is.
I think I do.
He was in Home Improvement.
Oh, yes.
Was that your final words, producer Pitt?
I hope the man from my day job in the Dale Jr. jacket wants to continue to talk NASCAR with me, because no one else other than you guys wants to talk NASCAR with me.
All right. Well, we're looking for Peter's NASCAR friend. If you want to apply, let us know. Slide in the DMs or Racing Refresh on social media, and see if you can be producer Peyton's NASCAR pal.
Yeah.
All right. With that, that's been Adam Carabine. That's been the one and only producer Peyton Lohr. And I'm Logan Leganity Morris. Look, enjoy COTA. We're going to the road course. We'll see who the king of the road is, at least to start out the year. And until next time, we'll see you at the next track.